Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
Today's episode of Your Welcome was brought to them by the one and only. Who was it, Joel? Who always brings them this episode? From day one for 2 years, BetDSI.com. And Joel, you know as well as anybody, if it's a major world or sporting event, you can get action at BetDSI.com. I don't give a damn if it's a reality TV show. You want to make a bet on who the Bachelor is going to pick, BetDSI will give you action. Any sporting event. And that includes amateur. That includes NCAA. Football, baseball, basketball, our sport of MMA, you name it, BetDSI will have some odds. I love BetDSI, Joel. They're a great sponsor, but they give the craziest odds. You want to go make some money, go kick these guys' butts. Sign up at BetDSI.com right now. Use the promo code CHAEL200. And whatever your first deposit is, they are going to give you 200%. I'll do simple math. You put up 10 bucks. When you check out, you will have $30. You put up 100 bucks. When you check out, you'll have $300. You put up 500 bucks. When you check out, you will have $1,500. They're going to give you a 200% bonus just for listening to this show. Their longest standing sponsor right here, BetDSI, and you're welcome. Get over there, BetDSI.com. Put up some money. You guys choose how much. Use the code CHAEL200. And, you know, they could listen to you, Joel. They could you've been making some good bets. You took Whitaker. I got to give you that one. You took Whitaker. I mean, you've been on a roll anyway. But that one with the odds, 4-1, could have really cashed in.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to another very special episode of Your Welcome. We're going to get things going. We are joined by a legend, Dr. Sean Stasiak. Sean, man, let's cut right to the chase. What in the hell is going on out there at Boise State Wrestling? Are you following this?
Well, first and foremost, that was a heck of an introduction, Chael, so thank you very much. Secondly, yes, I had learned that last week. I received a text from a good friend of mine that was actually one of my roommates in the dorms at BSU that Boise was dropping their program. And I was very disheartened when I heard that. Very disheartened.
Yeah, so here, let me give you a quick rundown and tell me where I'm wrong if you've got some insider information. For our listeners that don't know, before your WWE career, you were an amateur wrestler at Boise State. I remember getting together with the guys right when the Monday Night Wars were going on and everything. Every time you'd come to the ring, all the Oregon wrestlers, we'd go crazy as we were watching Raw because you wrestled at Boise State. So this is why I'm bringing this up to you, but I got a little bit of a mixed review. So they dropped their wrestling program, and then it was about 24 hours later, they came back and said, well, hold on. Maybe we're not going to drop it, but they didn't give clarity. They didn't come in and say, hey, no, the wrestling's going to stay or it's going to be gone or if we can get this done. They just said, well, we're going to review it. So where does that stand? Do you have a current update on whether or not Boise State will be on the NCAA mats next year?
Chael, I don't, man. And honestly, I felt compelled to call Greg Randall, who took over the program, him and Chris Owens. I'm sure those names are familiar to you.
Of course.
When I was there, of course, God, it was eons ago, back in the late 90s, basically.
Coach Young, right?
Coach Young, yep. And then, of course, you know, Chris Owens came in. Of course, Greg Randall, they were assistant coaches. And then Mike Davies, I don't know if that rings a bell. But
oh, yeah.
He was my, yeah, he went to ASU, and he was like my coach, you know, as far as from the 67 on the heavyweight, he kind of took us under his wing. And so we kind of followed him. We were doing two-a-days and that kind of thing, getting ready for Pac-10s and NCAAs and so forth. But, man, I don't know what the update is. You know more than I do, but I'll tell you, I'm going to put a call in and find out. I just wanted to give Greg maybe a little bit of breather room. I didn't want to, you know, I figured it was kind of overwhelming and maybe discouraging. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of let it digest a little bit and then figure out. And I had read an updated email that I'd received from, you know, being an alumni that they were going to reconsider. So I was like, okay, well, let's hope not. Now, let me ask you this. Being an Oregon Duck, They dropped their program, did they not?
They dropped their program. They dropped their program, and it was out of nowhere. They had just had a national champion. You know, success really doesn't have anything to do with that, though. You know, those things come in, and it's not even numbers either. Some of that gets put out in the press that, it was losing money or it's too expensive. But it's really not it. You never get to really find out the behind-the-scenes story as to why something gets dropped. But, yeah, they dropped their program, and they made it a moving target. They said, okay, well, if you can raise $2 million, we'll bring it back. And so they got $2 million raised, and they said, well, we need four. So they got an endowment for four, in pledges, rather, and then they said, well, it's got to be 6.1. So it turned into this moving target, and then the guy that was leading that, Coach Finley, who was my coach at the time and coached at the same time that your coach, Mr. Young, did.
Yes, I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, he passed away. Coach Finley passed away a little bit less than a year ago, rest his soul, but he was really the driving force behind it. So the movement has kind of come to a standstill, but, you know, those programs don't come back very often. The real key is to stick around. It's really tough.
Yeah, man, I was disappointed to hear that, and I also heard your story about Coach Finley, and I was very moved by that show. It was very very authentic and real, and it really moved me.
Appreciate that. He was just such a good man. Just said one of those guys you just can't replace. Not only, you know, a coach, and it's such a selfless act where you're going out and helping other people, but he was just a kind person, and that's sure. Not always said with guys that have that level of success. Hey, you brought up Coach Davey a minute ago. We'll get off amateur wrestling in a second here, but you brought up Coach Davey. I remember him. He wrestled Kevin Jackson, in fact, for the National Open title. I was there, and I got to see it. Whatever happened to him? Is he still involved in wrestling?
Mike Davies? He lives in Boise. He's a very successful insurance, has a very successful insurance business, and you know, he's got you know, wife and three little girls. In fact, little girls, they've already grown. I think one of them's already going to ASU. I mean, so he I don't think he had a whole lot to do with wrestling after he I think he had one more shot at some open something rather, I can't remember what it was, tournament or something. Didn't, you know, I think he pretty much retired and didn't have a whole lot of involvement with it because he just got inundated with his business and got real busy with his three girls and his family and so forth. So I'm sure he follows it, but I don't think he's been deeply involved. I could be wrong, but I stay in touch with him periodically over the years.
All right, so now that you and I have caught up, man, let's get into business here. So I remember your run in the WWE, and it was awesome, and you went off, you became a chiropractor. You are now officially Dr. Sean Stasiak, but, I mean, you've got to have some aspirations, right? I mean, you never get too old where that itch goes away, has been my experience. But you must watch some of these guys and seeing Goldberg's come back and seeing what Lesnar can do. Seeing Jericho, I mean, guys that I bring up the age because for you and I, that is relevant. But you must have some aspirations, right, thinking of seeing yourself back in there at some point?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you had a chance. I mentioned this to Joel, but I put together a video storyline about a potential return to WWE. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Well, when you get a chance, you know, I'd encourage you to take a look at it because it kind of tells a story there. There's ever been a father-son duo in the history of the WWE to become champion. And although I'm 46, I'll be 47 this summer. You know, the glue that's kept me together all these years, being away from mainstream TV, you know, WWE, WCW, any mainstream wrestling television, you know, I've kept myself together, you know, physically. The fitness world has just been my lifestyle. I think it is for a lot of us athletes. It's just kind of, you know, we're going to stay in shape as best we can, whether we're competing or not or performing or whatever. And so with that being said, I think it's a relatively realistic storyline that could still be played out to this very day. I do watch the product. The landscape's completely changed, as you know. It's a publicly traded company. I think it's become more of an entertainment company. Back when you watched the Wars, the Monday Night Wars, it was, you know, people realized that it was, you know, it was staged, it was choreographed, but it just had a little bit more of an element of realism. And I think there's some elements and the art has been lost over the years, and not to fault these young kids today, because some of these kids are just phenomenal athletes. They can do things that I couldn't even fathom. But, Chael, I come from the old school. I mean, I grew up, I was inspired by, of course, my dad being Stan the Man Stasiak, you know, guys like Roddy Piper, Playboy Buddy Rose. Of course, I don't know, I sent Joel a little outline timeline that we could cover maybe from beginning to end, but we can just bounce around. But, you know, I grew my mom's side of the family, and I lost my mom first day of high school. in, you know, I was going to David Douglas High School in Portland, and she passed September 4th, 1984.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
I lost, of course, I lost my father, too, you know, a few years later. He passed in 97. So I've lost both parents. You know, I was the only child. But my point is that, you know, I spent a lot of significant years in Portland. And so Portland's, it's interesting for me because Portland's kind of a home away from home. I've got such wonderful memories there, especially growing up through the 70s and 80s when wrestling was such a hotbed. And, of course, the territory days were popular. You know, back in those days, you had Don Owens, you know, Portland Territory, the Pacific Northwest. You had Roy Shires down in San Francisco. You had the Von Erichs here in Dallas with the Sportatorium. I'm sure you've heard, you know, that those names.
Oh, of course.
You know, you had the Ganyas in Minnesota. I mean, Vince McMahon's father, who's Vince Sr., who my dad worked for, had the Northeast. So, you know, we would bounce around everywhere and travel almost like gypsies, really, like a circus, you know, because you would spend 6 months to a year in a territory. And what was cool about the territory is that you'd keep it fresh because you'd have new talent coming, you know, in and out of the territories. You know, you didn't want to overwhelm your stay, but keep it fresh. So it was a constant draw. And of course, you know, I had the privilege and the honor and the luxury of growing up around guys like, you know, the beginning stages of Roddy Piper, you know, sitting in the crow's nest, if you remember that.
Oh, of course.
Conducted the interviews
with Don Owens.
Man. With Don Owen and of course, Sandy Barr, Art, and Jesse Barr. I hung around the bars all the time. I mean, I spent some very significant years in Portland. So, of course, you had Harley Race. You had Ric Flair would come through. Andre the Giant. I was telling Joel the other day, or it was yesterday, we were chit-chatting a little bit, and, we talked about Andre. I have childhood memories of Andre the Giant, you know, in my living room, drinking beer with my dad till 5 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine a 5-year-old boy? You know, I know you just you're now a father, Chael, and you imagine though, you hear this all this commotion going on, this big laugh, and you're going, what the heck? And you walk down the staircase, and there's a live giant in your living room. You know,
frankly, you're being a bit of a dick about it because that makes me extremely jealous. I mean, that is the coolest thing in the world. I had to beg my dad to go buy tickets and get me and my buddy Justin seats so we could go see Andre the Giant. I can't imagine being able to walk downstairs. And there is. Hey, you said a lot there. Hold on. Let me jump in before you go, because the very first thing when we started talking about this is you were talking about your age and coming back. And I just want to make this point, and the listeners agree with me 100%, and so does the facts of wrestling. Your age could not stop you from coming back, and wrestling is believed to be a young man's sport. But what people have to understand, the only reason that they favor the young man is because the young guy can still travel. He can still do it. He hasn't ran his body down. The road hasn't eaten him up where he's getting tired and, you know, his family's saying he got to come home more. So the older gentleman can definitely go. Now, we don't have to look any further back than 3 weeks ago and see who headlined the biggest show of the year, which was WrestleMania. You also look at some of the spots with the guys like Chris Jericho, you know, the guys that still want to do it and can go out and do it. It's not a young man's sport in terms of it can draw. It's just been a young man's sport in terms of those are the ones that don't mind living out of a suitcase. So if you're telling people you want to come back, I mean, I would have to think that would be as simple as one phone call. Because I have those tremendous memories of you, and I know so many other people do. And just talking to you now, hearing a wrestler that's in his mid-40s and has his mind together that went on and became a doctor. I mean, Sean, you're a one-off here, man.
Well, I appreciate that, Chael, man. I wish more people, I want to cut right into this comeback storyline. I really would like you to you know, after this show and everything, when you have time. And by the way, man, you've got a lot going on. I don't know how you keep up with all this stuff. You're a hard little worker, man.
I have fun with that. Thank you for saying that, but I just have a passion for it.
Well, it's great, man. I want to tell you something. I mean, I know you always say you're a mark for pro wrestling, and but when I found out when Joel said you had known who I was, man, I was flattered by that, man, because I've been following your career, and I'll tell you what, if I was 15 years younger, man, I might have been up in Portland training with you, and I've met Randy Couture. I'm not trying to get off topic here, but I just want to throw this in here real quick. Randy was, man, this was before Randy became Randy Couture, the MMA legend. You know, I would see him at tournaments, and Randy was just such a sweetheart of a guy, and just such a stand-up dude. And I just remember you know, I love my coach, Mike Davies and Mike Young and Coach Randall. But, man, I'd be at tournaments and I'd say, hey, I've got Oklahoma State next, or I've got so-and-so next or whatever. He'd say, well, okay, watch out for those low single, or watch the, you know, he was always so cool, man. I was like, God, I wish he was part of our coaching team or something, you know. So, you know, I'm a huge MMA fan. I've been following your career. I think it's very admirable that you are juggling all these things and having the success you are, and you do such a great job at it, man. And, honestly, I think pro wrestling might have been a missed call for you. You know, I think I could have seen you definitely have the personality and, you know, the physical, everything's there, you know. But anyway, you know, I think it's very admirable what you've done, and I've been a big fan of you. So I just want to get that out there, man. I guess I'm marking out on you, Chael. I'm just marking out a little bit.
Hey, you know what? That means a lot, and that actually surprised me because we really did. I remember we get the address and everything, 479 West Olympic Street. Every Monday night we come watch. I can still remember you in the ring and going to the rope and raising both hands up and looking to the side, the sideburn. I remember the whole bit, and everybody was so excited about it. I didn't know you had the David Douglas tie-in. Hey, you mentioned Don Owens and the territory days, and you said that, you know, that you were an old schooler, but I come from that same mindset, and somebody that influences me a lot in wrestling is Jim Cornette, and largely because he is an older guy, but I also agree with his philosophy, and there is a difference in professional wrestling and sports entertainment, and there is absolutely room for both. Absolutely. Check the stock prices. Without question, people like both. But I do agree with your point that what some of the younger guys are doing, because it's still, in my opinion, Sean, it needs to look, even though the fourth curtain's been revealed and we understand they're out there cooperating with each other instead of competing against each other, I think it still needs, and we're owed this as fans, because I am willing, absolutely a willing participant, to suspend reality and make believe that this is going on. So when I go into that, and when I look around the arenas, and I go every time that I can, I caught several WrestleManias in a row. I didn't get to go this year. They come out to Portland twice a year. I never, ever, ever miss. Everybody in that arena that's absolutely sold out is just like me. We are willing to suspend reality. However, I feel you guys owe it to us, for the younger wrestlers, to still make it look like something guys would do in a competitive format where they're trying to beat each other up and pin each other or stretch each other out. And some of that high-flying stuff, as much as I appreciate the acrobats of it, it's just not something that's going to happen in a legitimate atmosphere. I've seen wrestlers, Sean, I've seen them go corner to corner to corner, and I remember the first time he climbed up on the top ropes and he hits the moonsault and he hits the guy, the building goes crazy. And then for reasons unknown, he goes to the second turnbuckle, and he hits the moonsault, and the guy's still laying there, and the crowd appreciates it. And then he goes to the third turnbuckle and the fourth. And by the time the fourth is done, it's like, hey, we've already seen the spot. You got to move on by now.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's nothing different than suspending your disbelief when you go to a movie and you pay your $12 or whatever it is. You get your bucket of popcorn and your drink, and you sit there and I just think that, you know, you want to just live vicariously through the characters and the storyline. And I just think that, and I was telling Joel this earlier, I think that what happened over the years is not only did the business get exposed, but also I think with MMA being as real as it gets, I think reality TV has become a popular thing. We got social media. I mean, the whole society has changed. And I think that I don't know where we go from here. It's almost like the fans come in there and they try to hijack the shows, and they call them smart marks, right? So they kind of know the behind the scenes, but it's almost like that's taken on a life of its own. Is who are they going to push? Well, trying to push Roman Reigns, for instance, good looking guy, comes from a Samoan dynasty, and God rest his brother's soul. We just lost him last week. Matt, you know, he went by the character Rosie that I remember, you know, in my days there.
I didn't know he passed. I did not know that. I'm very sorry to hear that. Thank you for sharing that. I was unaware.
Yeah. So anyway, but I just think that it's in any time in wrestling history, we're at a such a annuity. I mean, I don't know how you bring it back. How do you go? And that's the thing, Phil. I mean, you see some guys, and again, I'm not, man, these guys do some tremendous athletic acrobats and moves and 10 flips in the air and this and that, but it's not Circus Olay. This is professional wrestling. And I'm, as I've gotten older and I've watched older footage, I realized that there's been an art that's some elements have been lost. Now I understand you've got to evolve with the times, and you've got to, you know, when my father was back in his day when he was working Bruno Sammartino or Pedro Morales, you know, in Madison Square Gardens in the 70s, you know, they could get away with 30 minutes of just two moves back and forth and just over and over again. You couldn't, you know, they'd boot you right out of the building. That won't work in today's landscape, but. I don't know. I don't really have an answer for it. And I'm sitting here scratching my head. I'm watching the shows. I'm thinking, man, I'm trying to get behind these guys. I want to get behind the storyline. And I get little glimpses and pieces of it. And I go, all right, good. I mean, I want to, and for me, it's difficult because I was in the business and I understand all the workings behind the scenes and how everything works. But I still want to be that little kid. I still want to be that fan. You know, I still want to be that Mark. I still want to, you know, for me, growing up through high school and even in college, you know, for me, it was all about, you know, I had my amateur wrestling career, but I think where I kind of screwed myself over a little bit is I was so focused on, I can't wait till this is over so I can pursue that professional wrestling career. And it kind of took some attention away from my amateur days. I had a successful career, but I could have been more successful if I would have just, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? Talk is cheap. But you look back, that's just part of getting older and having wisdom and realizing where you went wrong and mistakes you made and you move on, right? But the point is that I was inspired by larger-than-life characters. A professional wrestler to me, when they walked through that curtain, I wanted to believe, wow, that guy could kick my ass. When Rick Rude walked through the curtain with that robe and that mustache and that hair, and he grabbed that microphone and, you know, he'd cut his promo. Rude was a legitimate tough guy, you know. Mr. Perfect, Ultimate Warrior, the larger-than-life guys with the face paint, Sting. I love those characters. In fact, it inspired me to create a character of my own that I came up with that became a catalyst for my tryout with WWE. Maybe I can get into that some other time, but I do a lot of anti-bullying speaking events with kids with the character. I'm a big kid, Chael. You know, every Halloween I do this character and I do different events and promote the character. His name is Phobia, and what it means is face your fears, overcome your fears, take control of your life. So it's a positive message. But just to circle this around back to what you were saying is, today's wrestling is just different. It's different, and I really try to pull for the guys. I'm pulling for this Braun Strowman, for instance. I think they're trying to create this monster. I think they're doing a great job with it. Braun is, you know, he's green, he's new, but I'm seeing the development with him. Roman Reigns, I think they try to shove him down people's throats. That's why he's getting rejected by the fans. But he has all the tools, you know, everything's there. But I don't know. It's just there is an element that's been lost, and I don't know how you gain that back.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Hey, I fully agree with you. You know, you gave an assessment earlier that guys could go out there and do two moves for 30 minutes and the crowd would boo them out. Man, I remember that when Don Owens was promoting. We had that here in Portland. The guys weren't in the best shape, but they would go out there. They'd grab a headlock, and, man, they'd hold that for minutes, and this other guy couldn't get out of the headlock. Or they, right. You know, they grab the wrist and come underneath, and the guy's begging for mercy, and he's tapping and trying to get, and it was way too slow, and they weren't a level of athlete that were willing to go out there and get their heart rate up and get exhausted. But there's still a balance, because you also said this isn't Cirque du Soleil, and I fully agree with you. You know, we're seeing some of these gymnastics and these really, really great athletes, but you know, I think if you look back, particularly at the guys that drew, they were more of guys that looked like a fight. Stone Cold Steve Austin came out and he was going to punch you in the face and in the body and kick you in the gut, and he was going to do it over and over. People made fun of Hulk Hogan because, what's the expression, he didn't know the difference between a wrist lock and a wristwatch. Well, the reality was kicking somebody in the face and clotheslining them and dropping a leg and covering them 1-2-3 when you're 6'8" is a pretty believable storyline. I love what you just said about Rick Rude. They say that people smile not with their face, you smile with your eyes. And there's a lot of truth with that, with the excellent models and the actors we have out there. Rick Rude could show you his contempt with his eyes. When he came through that curtain and was angry, I believed it. I believed that guy really would grab my girlfriend and kiss her and hit me in the face. He is a top three heel of all time. He's my number one. I will listen to an argument on Ted DiBiase. Remember when he was the $1 million man and how he was just evil? I will listen to an argument, but I really think that Rude is probably the greatest heel of all time because, God damn, I bought it. I really thought if I saw this guy in a bar, I'll just stay on the other side. I'm not even going to go up and say I'm a fan, man. There was something scary about his presence, and somewhere that has been lost. And now these guys are coming off top ropes, and they're flying into tables. I'm stunned to see the crowd go crazy when they do that. I was at WrestleMania when Shane crawled up onto that cage, and I knew exactly what was going to happen. I know Shane's crazy enough to give the hottest spot of the night. He's a team player, but it's like, Shane, just climb on back down, man. There's no wires on you. There's no, Hollywood stuntman here. That's a table, and you're about to go through it, and you don't have to do that for my $20.
Right. Yeah, it made me nervous, too. Yeah, Shane's he's a crazy dude, great guy, and just very athletic, and he can't take that away from him. But, yeah, the thing is, you had mentioned earlier, we kind of talked a little bit, and you have to cut me off sometimes. I start going down rabbit holes, Chael. I just get excited. And I
do the
going,
same
man.
Thing, man. Ramble.
Yeah. It's that freaking alpha brain. I'm telling you, man. I need to have filter it, And I started listening to you and Rogan's another one I listen to all the time. I listen to your show, his, and you guys are promoting alpha brain. I think I give this thing a try, and it's great.
It puts a little pep in your step. It's very nice in the morning with a cup of coffee to get your day going. I learned about it from Rogan, too. So, yeah, man, I'm happy to hear that.
Yep, but anyway, so getting back to just really quick about, you were talking about age and about comebacks and all that. Well, yeah, I pitched this idea a couple years ago, and I actually spoke to Vince personally, and he really loved the video. He loved the little storyline and everything, and it was about basically, and if no one, whoever's listening to this, which I know you've got quite an audience, but I would... I have a YouTube channel. I can plug some of my handles towards the end. And by the way, I'm building a new brand called the Dr. Sean brand, and I'd like to maybe finish off with that and leave you with some information, and the listeners with the information. But I have a YouTube channel. It's a brand new. I mean, I think I got like 45 subscribers or something, but it's the videos are on there, and it's basically, Stasiak legacy comeback story about fulfilling a promise he made to his father that, He would create the history and become the first father son duo to ever grace a WWE title. And whether that would ever happen or not, I think that would be the objective, the reason that I would go back. I would put my chiropractic and speaking career on hold, and I would do that. If the business was right, as long as the details were right and it was a right fit for both myself and the company, because look, I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I don't want to waste the company's time with some stupid gimmicks. I've already had my share of stupid gimmicks, and I'm not here to point fingers and say, oh yeah, well, I didn't get the ball. Most people know that I didn't even scratch the surface with, and I say this, I want to say this humbly. I'm trying to say this with all due respect, but at the end of the day, no, I never really got that ball. There are some things that I realized looking back that I didn't help myself as far as politically, and I think that was ultimately the demise of some of my success, I guess, in WWE. Just stupid decisions and things that never had any wrongful intent whatsoever. Always come from my heart. I'm always that way. I wear my heart on my sleeve to a fault sometimes. But the point is that in that business, it's a shark eat shark world. And I came up through a time where I had, I had 10 untrained professional wrestling matches. I started in Portland. Actually, they had to, I guess they lost their license. We had to drive across the river in Washington, I think it was Vancouver. Can't remember the exact city, but it was just right over the river, Columbia River, and we would have some shows there. I did 10 matches the summer of 96, and then, of course, went back and finished my degree at Boise State, and then my dad had passed in 97, and shortly after, I sent that tape of the Phobia character to WWE, because I was actually at my dad's funeral in Portland, and out of all people, Matt Bourne, who played Doink the Clown, was at my dad's funeral, and he said, Sean, I know it's a tough time for you, but timing's everything, and WWE just ran a little tribute to your dad. You might want to send that tape in now, and back then I'm sending, this big VHS tape, right? Horrible resolution. Sent it to these guys, and within a week or so they bid on it, and I went out October of 97 and have my tryout. First guy I met was Yokozuna, and Dr. Tom Pritchard trained me. Of course, I came back in 98 to do a full camp. And of course, back then they had these Dory Funk Jr. who would come through with these camps called the Funking Dojos, and they were brutal, man. I mean, I thought my amateur wrestling. I thought, yeah, I'm an amateur wrestler, Division One wrestler, wrestled all through high school. I'm going to kick at it. I'm telling you, Chael, after 2 days of bumps and bruises, my hitting those ropes and taking, I had a migraine for 4 days straight. I literally was on the phone in the hotel in Stanford, my buddy, my roommate, saying, "Hey, how's it going, man? I know you're kicking ass. I know that you signed the contract yet." I'm like, dude, I was literally in tears, saying, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to make this." That's how tough it was. But I'm getting a little bit off cue here. But circling back to, you know, as far as a comeback and all that, I'm open to an initial discussion. I certainly am not. I don't want to go back just to be back. I don't want to waste anybody's time, my time or the company's time. I'm all about business. I'm all about ratings. I'm all about putting asses in seats and numbers. And that's, at the end of the day, that's just business. I love aspects of the business. I miss aspects of the business, but it has to be the right fit for both of us, from storyline all the way to, details of a contract. So, and I'm not difficult to work with. I'm definitely a team player, but it just has to make sense. And I just can't see myself coming out of retirement to do anything else than this actual storyline. If you want to get the most emotion, you want to get the most authentic, genuine, heartfelt emotion from me, right? To be, and I don't need to be a character and play any other. I'm Sean Stasiak. I'm a world-class athlete full of piss and vinegar that wants to make WWE history and fulfill a promise he made his dad before he passed. That's the storyline, okay? And I'm there, whether you like me or love me, I don't care. I'm there to, and what I stand for, my message is real simple. I don't want to sound too much like John Cena, but it really truly is. It's all about overcoming adversity and trials and tribulations in life. If you have a dream or a vision or a passion for something, go for it. And sometimes, a lot of times, and I don't want to sound cliche here, it's not so much the destination. It really is the journey is the blessing in life. So don't be too attached to the outcome, but give your reason. What's your intent? What's your objective? Why are you doing what you're doing? And even if I fell short of this and it never came to fruition, and I fell short of attaining that feat, becoming the first father-son duo to win the title, well, then, you know what? I would hope that I inspire people along the way, because the message would be through this character, Sean Stasiak, that is never give up, never say never, never die attitude. And I'm just taking parallels of my real life, all the trials and struggles and challenges I go through to this very day, Chael, that would channel to this character, because it would be so real. If you want real, and you want to get real emotion, and you want to be moved and inspired by this movement, man, I'd say, if you and I ran a company, we're promoters of a company or own a company, I would bite on this storyline, because it would really, I think it would do very, very well. And I'm not being biased. I don't care who plays the character. It could be, anybody. But it just happens to be my life and my situation, and I feel like all the elements are there for all the ingredients are there for an award-winning stew, if you will.
Sean, I agree with you, and I could see you face-to-face right now with Randy Orton and explain the storyline to him and then tell him, your old man couldn't beat mine, and you can't beat me. And I believe we will fill up an arena.
Brother, that's interesting you say, Randy Orton, because And I have some little side notes that I've documented that would be little angles and that would make sense psychology wise. Well, Randy is a legend killer. He has no respect for legends. I know he's going in a different angle or a different direction with this Viper character, and he's now feuding with Bray Wyatt. It's getting kind of, it's almost like a movie. They're little vignettes and promos. I'm kind of digging it, actually. I know you're a fan of Bray Wyatt. I know you like his character. I've heard you mention it before in some of your shows. But and plus, Randy and I, it was funny about that. I kind of took him under my wing in the very, very beginning when he was, no one even knew who he was. He was just training in OVW, and he was traveling to TVs, and they stuck him with me and said, "Hey, man, he's kind of, show Randy the ropes." And so I he was just a young kid, man, and he stayed with me for, a couple nights, and we traveled. We went up to Canada, and I was, I've spent a lot of time in Oakville, Ontario, which is a suburb outside of Toronto, which is a big wrestling city, by the way. So anyway, I kind of understood the currency and, you know, the French language and this and that. So he's with me. And of course, I had him stay at my place in Tampa at the time. And the next night I come, or next day I come out, and all my stuff's eaten in the refrigerator. My cupboards are empty. I'm like, Randy, did you eat all your? Yep. He's just this young 21-year-old kid with a metabolism, you know, from hell, ate all my food, you know. But anyway, it was, you know, I enjoyed that experience. But yeah, man, and we had some dark matches, him and I. You know, I had already been established a little bit. I'd been in the business for a couple years, and they were just trying to figure out what they were going to do with him. But yeah, he just was a great, great athlete, just moved around so well, so gracefully in the ring, had a great physique. Good, I think he even had an amateur wrestling background. But yeah, man, we have good chemistry, Randy and I, at least we did, you know. But yeah, that would definitely be someone that I would be very, very interested in running some kind of angle with. But again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know, I'm not waiting for my phone to ring, Chael. I'm just saying it's one of those things where if the phone call came and that there was an interest and they saw the value in this and they thought that they could, you know, even if it was just like a little side feature or something where it just brings an element, you know. I even have ideas of, for instance, check this out for an angle if you want to hear this. Okay, so my dad, you know, was one of the shortest reign WB champions in history, 9 days, right? My dad always told me, he said, Sean, it might have been only 9 days, but it was the happiest 9 days of my life. And it was at a time, apart from you being born, Sean, you know, he always said that to me. You know, God rest his soul. My dad was a sweet man. You would have loved him. But and what a prankster, too. Always, I think that's how Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, he was known to be one of those prankster guys. You know, my dad worked with his dad, Larry Hennig, so I think Kurt was exposed to guys like my dad at an early age, so that's probably why Kurt became such a prankster. But, man, I lost my train of thought. What happened to that alpha brain, man? Hey, I thought it was supposed to keep me going.
Hey, I heard you taking a pause there. You know, you're telling a story about your old man, and you were just talking about, you know, if everything made sense that you'd want to come back, but maybe your phone needs to ring. You might not be going out there and pursuing it too hard.
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah, the bottom line is that it's just one of those things where if the phone rings, great. I'm open to an initial discussion. If it doesn't, I've already accepted the fact that, you know, my life has moved on, and you know, I'm into some pretty deep stuff, Chael, when it comes to law of attraction and acceptance and things like that. I used to fight it forever. It actually haunted me for many years because, you know, it's like you said, it's a little piece of, I have a little bit left in the tank, and I kind of feel like, would it be a waste of time? Would it be, it'd be a shame if we didn't play this out, because I'm still physically capable and able. I mean, I don't know about a full-time schedule. That's not really an interest, but I mean, you know, you can, you really, people get over more so. It seems like the actual wrestling matches are kind of like a window dressing anymore. It seems like the storyline, you get over with the microphone, man, you know, and you know that just from your career in MMA. I mean, a lot of it's just getting people emotionally invested. It's like the wrestling is almost secondary, you know. The fight is, well, for me, it's not. I mean, I can't wait to see the actual scrap. But I mean, but a lot of it, though, I love the story. Even with UFC, the way that they build things up, I mean, it's a fine line between entertainment and building the storyline and the actual real deal. And I know with pro wrestling, you know, it's choreographed, but it's kind of like, I take pride in, if I ever went back, I want people to think, okay, they all know that this is a stage, but I would, you know, I want to be that type where I can take a guy right over to the front row and punch a guy right in the face and then make them think like, God, is he really mad at him? Did he really hit him? I mean, that's the kind of work, you know, that I take pride in. And, you know, there's that element of real that I don't know. I feel it has been missing, and that's something, an element that I'd like to bring back. Now, again, I had this conversation with Vince a couple years ago. And he really appreciated the video. He appreciated the storyline, but it didn't seem like the direction they wanted to go in. But again, in the WWE, you know, there's a saying, never say never, and anything can happen. And like you said, you know, he brought Goldberg. Now, Goldberg was much more over than I ever was. I mean, I'm just to face it. In some of the guys, like Jericho's always been, you know, over. Just for what it was. I mean, I had my experience in both companies, WCW and WWE. I had some rubs, you know, with The Rock and Kurt Angle and Stone Cold and all that. But you know, like I said before earlier in this on the show, I never really got that ball, you know, Chael. And so I don't know if they look at me as someone like, yeah, we can't draw money with this guy. We can't, you know, he's been gone too long. I just say BS to all that, and this is why. You know, I've got 20 matches that are on the WB network. So these kids today that don't even know who I am, they can educate themselves by looking at the library, number one. Number two, they've got all kinds of video footage of my dad. You can educate people through these vintage clips and footage. They can do whatever they want to do. They're one of the best. WB is the best in one of the best in production. They win awards all the time. They do tremendous theatrical productions, right? The advantage that I have, other than the disadvantage that I'm a little bit older and I don't recover quite as quick, but just like Randy Couture said years ago, you know, he said, how are you doing this, Randy? And Joe interviewed him. He's like, I don't know, we just get better with age. And he goes, so you just got to learn how to train differently and train smarter as you get older. And you can be just as, you can perform. You might lack some elements. You might, you know, be a little weaker or not recover as quick. But if you just change your diet or you change your approach to training or maybe you just get a little stronger in meditation in your mind or whatever it is, you can still be up to par. You know what I mean? And so for me, it's just working smarter, not harder so much, right? Got to have a hard work ethic, but you got to be smart about it, not burn yourself out. So that's where I'm at today. Yeah, I mean, the disadvantages, I have been away for quite a few years. The advantage is, though, I've got a pretty good shelf life. I haven't banged my body up in 15 years, really. I've kept it together pretty well, living this chiropractic lifestyle, you know, keeping up with my fitness, my cardio, you know. You know what I mean? So it's like you can repackage somebody, and if you do it right and build it slow and it makes sense, you can really create something special. And I'm not just talking about me, it's about anybody. But for my era, I don't know too many people, and I say this humbly, but unfortunately, Chael, they've either passed on or they're really beat up, man. It's pretty much their time is done, you know? And I feel like you squeeze out a couple more years if you do it right, and I just think it's a real special storyline that I think a lot of fans, I think a lot of people would really enjoy if they did it right. So that was a rant and a half.
Hey, listen, though, but look, you sold me. I mean, I was in from the beginning because I'm an old Sean Mark and fan, but I mean, the bottom line is, yeah, you do have a storyline. There's a lot of people that can relate. And, you know, you did say something, too, where you've still got a little bit of that itch. And, man, it's just a reality of life that we all have to learn how to get over. It's very, very rare in anything, whether it's NCAA. I mean, you could just apply it to anything. In this case, to a professional wrestling career. It's very rare that you get to go out on your terms. And it really doesn't matter if you got to do it 30 years or you got to do it for 30 months. It's just a very rare thing that you get to go out. And so you always have those second guessings. You know, you were talking about your amateur wrestling career. And I also did not appreciate the window. The fact that, look, the NCAA has very strict parameters. And 4 years after that clock starts, that clock is going to stop. And you've got to maximize it. 4 years was all the time in the world at that age group, you know, 18 to 22. That's just going to be forever. And so, you know, you do miss some of that stuff. And I like to tell younger people that when they're listening, you know, I had people tell me, but I didn't get it. I didn't get it until, you know, some of that time had passed. So, hey, man, I understand where you're coming from. I hope it happens. Before we go, Sean, please tell me about this YouTube channel. How can we check this out?
Okay, so I'm building a new brand. It's called the Dr. Sean Brand, and I'm just learning all this stuff with my handles and everything, Chael, with social media. So it's real simple for Twitter, for Instagram, for the Dr. Sean fan page on Facebook, and the YouTube channel it's real simple. It's Dr. Sean, DrShawn 008. Dr. Sean 008. And on the YouTube channel, you can see the two version of the videos. Now, I sent Joel the links as well. Maybe you can get those to you, or maybe I can get those to you maybe after the show or something. I can text them to you or whatever. But people can watch them there. They can see the storyline pitch. I think people will, of course, you got a lot of haters out there saying, oh, that's never going to happen. This guy, you know, that's what happens. You put yourself out there as a public figure, you're going to get chopped down. But for the most part, I'm receiving pretty positive feedback from them. And, of course, I've got a Facebook page, Sean Stasiak -Stipich, as well. I got a new website going to be coming out, be called drshawninspired.com. With this brand that I'm building now, Chael, it's basically a culmination of a little bit of Tony Robbins, a little bit of The Rock, the entertainer, the performer. It's about living a healthy, enchanting, vibrant life, through a little bit of chiropractic, a little bit of spiritual stuff. It's kind of a proprietary blend, but at the end of the day, it's all going to be about bettering yourself as a person, bettering your life, and being the best you can be in my own unique way, all while putting smiles on faces and hopefully getting a laugh. So there you have it, man. And I really appreciate you having me on the show. And I just say keep rocking on. I'm going to keep rooting for you, man. And I wish you all the best for your next fight coming up.
Sean, I appreciate that. Hey, I'd like to do a part two with you if we can reschedule. There's another direction that I would like to go in and maybe get some advice from you on building characters and marketing and some other stuff. I'd also like to share a story with you. You were talking about some of the old days here in the territory of Pacific Northwest Wrestling, Portland Wrestling as I knew it. We had another guy whose name you didn't drop, but I know you'll certainly remember it, is Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh, absolutely. He was one of my heroes when I was a kid. Absolutely.
Oh, he was just amazing. But old Billy Jack, things haven't totally worked out for him. I got contacted by him about a week and a half ago when he wanted to come in studio and do a podcast. I said, well, that's a really hot guest for me. I think, you know, when he starts going crazy and stuff, that is really good for ratings. But I don't know how what state he would show up in, I guess. I'll leave it at that. So I actually declined. Now, I would like to have him, but I was a little bit hesitant to actually have him in studio down here. We got two different security checks, and it's a big fancy building we're in down here with some professionals, and I just didn't know what I would be getting into. So, hey, I'll share some of that story with you later, but let's make sure we circle back, because there's a lot more that I want to get into. I just think this is a good closing point when you're talking about, look, I've got an idea, I'm willing to come back and perform again, you know, and let's set the gimmicks aside, let's do a little more of a shoot here. And I know there's a lot of people like me that will appreciate that. So let's call it for here right now, but don't be annoyed if I got to reach back out to you in a couple days.
Oh, no, man, absolutely. I want you to, and I'd be more than happy to come back on for part two. In fact, I was telling Joel that I might even make a trip out to Portland here. I feel like I need to come back to my home away from home. There's something about Mount Hood and that rain and that, you know, I don't know what it is, man, that Columbia Gorge. I just love it, man. I miss it. I need to connect with it. So I will definitely let you know, you know, we can exchange contact information or whatever, but I'd like to definitely stay in touch with you, Chael. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be on the show.
I appreciate you. You know, if you do come back, make sure you stop by your alma mater, David Douglas. They have really turned things around, at least athletically. They're really doing some great stuff in both football and wrestling. Make you very proud. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you, Chael.
Dr. Sean Stasiak, there it is. Joel, now this is a serious question. And you know, whenever I get off with a guest, I always want to be nice to him. He wins me over. That guy won me over. But in fairness, was that not one of the most clear-spoken and educated guests that we've had? And we usually have wrestlers and MMA guys. It's a little hard on your brain and body. But in fairness, was that not one of the more eloquent and clear thinkers we've ever had?
Well, I had a chance to... I never get to talk to guests. And I had a chance to talk to him. I did not know, you said, hey, doc, it's Dr. Sean. I didn't know until we talked to him last week. It was Sean Stasiak. Got a chance to talk to him. He did send over those videos. You know, I know you've got 700 jobs. This guy's got about 500 jobs. He's not far behind you. But one of the videos he sent me was that training, the training tape that he sent to the WWE. And one of the things that has always annoyed me about athletes or this, that, and the other is they always want to say, I'm in the best shape of my life. Okay, well, he's 46. And he starts out the tape by saying, hey, I'm in the best shape of my life. And darn it, he is. You know, I wanted to shed some light on that. He's at the gym right now. He is training. There's a difference between exercising and training. And that guy is training right now. And yeah, he had an agenda. He's got a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, he's a guy you give a rope to and he can just run all day.
Here's something that I liked about it. And we can move on, but this is just fair. And, you know, you and I can see through the BS and we don't mind a little BS. We're in for the entertainment aspect of it, but he did not come on and work us. I prefer a shoot, and when people come on here, we ask them that they shoot and just come real. Now, he did have a character and a gimmick and a storyline if he came back, But that wasn't a work. That really happened. He lost his father. His father was the world champion. He's the second generation. There's never been a father and son champion. The Ortons are about as close as I can think of. There's other people that are very close, but the Ortons are about as close as I could think of, because I think old man Orton could have had his run, but he simply didn't get it. He was running through the Flair and the Dusty Rhodes era, and the strap never got put around him. Now, and he almost missed that point. I think he kind of missed that point, that the sitting champion, who is Randy Orton, his old man, was the same time as Stan's old man. I mean, I think he might have missed that little detail of the storyline.
We were talking last week before we ever talked to Sean, and the thing that I told you that I miss the most about wrestling is the gimmicks. You know, his dad was famous for a heart punch, and he would pad, he would wrap his heart, his hand up, and then he would pad something with it. He'd hit his heart punch and then take whatever he had in there out. I miss those days. And yeah, it would be good if, you know, it just bring that back a little bit. I don't know. I really enjoyed that guy. He's got a lot of stuff going on. That's a guy that I need to learn more about, you know.
You appear to be in a very good mood today. Why are you so happy?
'Cause I'm not going to prison.
And you're out of prison.
Yeah.
My name is Raven. Professional wrestling superstar, world-class idiot, and raconteur extraordinaire. Join me for my new podcast, The Raven Effect. Every Monday here on the Jericho Network on Podcast One, we'll be covering current events and any and all topics that can be properly bantered. Download and listen to the show on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on iTunes. Quote The Raven, nevermore.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
You want to know something? I've been doing some media. This week, got the fight coming up, Wanderlei Silva, June 24, 7 p.m., 10 in the East, and only on pay-per-view, but I've got the Spike crew out here. We're doing like a countdown show and kind of, you know, behind the scenes, fly on the wall is what they call it, day in the life, training, some interviews, and I got asked some questions. The Spike guys asked me this, but every piece of media I've done, people ask me the same thing. Why do you want to fight Wanderlei Silva? They ask me that, and it's such a simple question, but I'm always stuck for an answer. Why do I want to fight Wanderlei Silva? I don't like Wanderlei Silva. That's why I want to fight Wanderlei Silva. We got a history. We're in the same weight class. What's the difference why I want to fight Wanderlei Silva? I almost get pissed off when I get asked the question. I can almost feel my blood boil, but I'm going to answer. Do you want to know why I want to fight Wanderlei Silva?
I do want to know why.
He dances like Elaine Benes from Seinfeld. That's one reason. Wanderlei Silva thinks that ice cubes are little clear rocks, and every time they melt, he thinks the world is coming to an end. How about that hat, Joel? Is the hat not a reason enough to fight Wanderlei Silva? Wanderlei Silva had the Brazilian Navy, okay, put screen doors on a submarine so he could cool down the sailors. I want to fight Wanderlei Silva because he's the kind of guy that takes the tags off of pillows in a hotel and never gets fined. I want to fight Wanderlei Silva because he's the kind of guy that pronounces nuclear, nuclear. And the number one reason I want to fight Wanderlei Silva, I have never felt he's given a satisfactory answer as to his whereabouts the day JFK was shot. Boom.
Oh, all right, well, that's beautiful, but let's...
You want to know another reason I want to fight him? I was there in New York City when Wanderlei Silva went to Smith & Lewinsky's and he ordered salmon. Of course I want to fight a guy like that.
All right,
Wanderlei Silva stole a pair of 3D glasses from a movie theater one time and then got in a wreck when he was driving home and wearing them because a mosquito was coming at his windshield. That's why I want to fight Wanderlei Silva.
No?
Who cares why I want to fight Wanderlei Silva?
It's the easiest fight in the world, and it's the first one in 20 years of following you that we talk about this.
Wanderlei Silva thinks that the new Guns N' Roses tracks are better than the classics. That's why I want to fight Wanderlei Silva.
All right, I'm out. You want to keep running that?
Out! You were never in!
You want to keep running that? The reality is he punched you in the chest and said, meet me on the playground. And God damn it, you're going to go meet him on the playground.
Great.
It isn't any different than that. And it's the first time in 20 years somebody poked you in the chest and said, let's get down. And that's why you're training the way you're training. That's why your eyes blacked up before camp ever started. And you're pissed off.
I had two black eyes last week. How do you like that?
I gave you one.
Oh, you're taking credit for one of them.
You know, I have to.
I only know where one of them came from. One of them was a headbutt, but I don't know where the other one came from. I was walking around with two black eyes going, well, I don't know if this is a tough look or if this is a look of a guy that didn't know how to get his head out of the way, but I did have two black eyes.
You know, one of the things you that Sean talked about is all the haters. And Jake Perry or Jake Ellenberger and Mike Perry fought. Mike Perry won in brutal fashion. And it's hard to watch that, to watch any of you guys lose that you're rooting for. But one of the things I've been thinking about is, man, it's hard enough to lose in front of four people, to lose in front of millions and millions of people. I mean, you got it right now. We got a spike crew here right now videoing your life. I don't know what it's like. What is it like living in the public with your highs and your lows?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Go back to that Ellenberger-Mike Perry fight. I thought Ellenberger fought great. I thought Perry did too. I thought it was a really good fight. But, you know, Ellenberger got hurt early on. Perry kicked him right in the belly, kicked him right in the ribs a second time. Ellenberger came back. He hurt Perry. You know, Perry had a little bit of Chris Lieben in him, which is when he got hurt, that he seemed to like that. He seemed to come up. Remember Forrest Griffin used to do that? You hit him in the face, his nose would start bleeding, and that's when he'd get going. I thought that was a great fight. I thought both those guys had a good performance. You know, that elbow that Ellenberger took, I mean, that would have put down a horse. Perry could have driven his arm right through a concrete wall with that. Nobody was going to take that shot. So that's the one that landed. The result's the same. You know who else looked really good was Iaquinta. Cub Swanson looked good, but I thought his opponent did too. I thought that was a good fight. Cub's a great fighter. And OSP beat a gentleman who I got to work out with for a very long time in Paisao. Met him out on the set of The Ultimate Fighter 3. He was on my team. We got to work out every day together. Very tough guy. OSP finished him with that interesting choke, just kind of drove his shoulder down. And I just thought that was a really good card. And then did you catch Strauss and Pitbull? You know, Pitbull guillotined him and grabbed the championship. I told you when you asked me to give a prediction, I took Strauss in that, but you just can't, man. Pitbull's just got he's got a really accurate name. That guy's a pit bull. He's a mean guy.
Well, that was a great fight. I picked Strauss too, and I'm not sure I would, if I got to pick again, I'd change my pick.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would either. Even after what I saw, but that was our fourth time fighting. I think it's very believable they're going to go out and do some record fifth fight. I agree with you. You know, Pitbull definitely has his ways to win, but to act like Strauss isn't a complete fighter, man, no way. He's incredible.
Yeah, Ladd had his play on Saturday. He absolutely killed it.
Hey, I heard Trina. Trina came out,
and that was so
cool. How cool is she?
She was great. But so I watched Jake's match right before the play started. Then I watched the play, and then I got home in time for Swanson's fight. I had a friend named Craig LaCouris, or he still is a friend of mine, and he told another friend of mine, Adam Durham. Craig used to be at the top of the car business.
Shout outs!
And then he was going down, and Adam was going up, and he told him, hey, be careful how you treat people, because you're gonna see them on your way back down. And the point I wanted to make about the Perry and the Ellenberger fight is Ellenberger was just Perry. Ellenberger was just on amazing run, knocking everybody out, and now he's on the other side of that. And that was the point, that this is a unforgiving sport.
Sure.
It is an unforgiving sport.
That's the way it should be. Yeah, there's ups and downs, and you have your moment, and somebody has theirs, and you pass the torch, and you try to get it back. And that's the way that it should be. You know, and I know guys get their feelings hurt over that, and they hang their head, but, man, they shouldn't. This is what you signed up for. Sometimes they just don't realize that. Sometimes they think, well, I'm going to be the one that's going to go 20 years. No, man, nobody is.
So, like I said, I only seen those two fights.
Saw.
OSP choked his opponent out with a rare choke in his hometown, that all about?
Did you call it a rear choke or a rare?
Rare.
Yeah, it was a rare choke. I'd never seen it before. I mean, but it was a playground choke. So let's see here. OSP is on top, and it's a good fight. They're going back and forth. OSP's on top, and he's got Pazon up against the fence. Now, that's relevant to the finish because Pazon can't move, and OSP just put his shoulder in his throat. He had no lock. His hands weren't grasped in any kind of fashion, but he dropped his shoulder right onto the jugular vein and just applied pressure till Pazon couldn't breathe anymore. It was a really interesting position, but everything was right for it because of where the fence was. Hey, I'll tie this. I want to tie two things. I talked about Billy Jack Haynes a little bit to Sean. Talked about Trina Gerlich with you. Trina used to date Billy Jack. Talk about a small world, huh? And she doesn't give me that. I tell her, hey, I'm a fan. I'm a mark. I was a Billy. Give me something. And she said, well, he was just kind of getting into it. He was a doorman at the time. I just called him Bill. She's like, I didn't know anything about the full Nelson and this I'll break your freaking neck stuff. And she's like, I didn't really know him. He was just Bill. He was a really nice guy.
That was literally one of the nicest things that I can remember.
She is so thoughtful.
Somebody doing. And Lad really appreciated it. Talk about being a proud dad. That I've watched that kid overcome hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, and I'm sure he's only halfway through. There were three really big parts in that play, and the gal Belle, who was the lead woman in Beauty and the Beast, she killed it, and then the other person that had that shined was Lad. He absolutely killed it. I was so proud, and then he had three plays. And so last night, I missed it. I was with you. He was so happy and so proud, and afterwards he said, Poppy, afterwards I had seven girls come up to me from school asking to take my picture.
That's not a bad start, lad. That's not a bad seven.
Seven.
That's more than a start. That's damn near a record number.
Yeah, huh? I mean, he was just beaming over the phone, and I was just so proud. It's it's amazing. I had a chance to talk with Sean. And you lose track of your motivation in life. I know I do. I lose track of it. And there was a time when Lad was knee deep in his battle. And I could see every little improvement that he made. And I could harness that and push myself forward. Well, he's made so many, I can't get that motivation. You get used to your surroundings. But I think, I think this kind of reignited my fire, for being a better everything, because he's my son and I need to pick myself up. So there you go. A little real.
Hey, man, talk. I'm happy for you. You're a proud papa. Good for you and good for Lad for getting through that play. Guys, I'll tell you all, if you want to have a great night's sleep like old JLP, check out Casper, Casper. Get yourself a Casper mattress, guys. It is a sleep brand that has created one perfect mattress sold directly to you, the consumer, that eliminates commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It's got a sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, how-did-they-do-that-sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. Guys, here's how it works. You can go to mortar and brick stores. You can look at the mattress. It's what I did. It's what you guys did. There's nothing wrong with it, but now we just got to pay the markup. We've got to go in there. We got to pay those salesmen. We got to pay for that mortar and brick. Or you can go to Point and Click, and they pass the savings on to you. Go to Casper.com/Chael. Enter the promo code at checkout, Chael. How easy is that? Casper.com/Chael. Check out with the promo code Chael. You will save an additional $50 off. I'll tell you from firsthand experience, I had a big fancy mattress. And I'm not a guy that goes out and likes to spend a lot of money, man. I'm about as tight as bark on a tree, but I like a good night's sleep. Do the math. The average person gets about 8 hours of sleep a night. Maybe that's if you're lucky, but the person's supposed to get about 8 hours of sleep a night. Well, there's only 24 hours in the day. A simple division there lets you know that a third of your life is spent in bed. You might as well be comfortable. I got myself a Casper. I took my mattress off my bed, put the Casper up, and put my own mattress in the garage. I would not get rid of it because I was certain I was going to be going back to it, and I never did. That mattress is now out of my garage, long gone. I sleep on a Casper. I love it. My wife loves it. Guys, go to Casper.com/Chael. Enter the promo code at checkout, Chael. Save yourself an extra $50, but here's the catch. You get to try this out for 100 nights. 100 nights. That's a ridiculous deal. Who needs to try something for 100 nights? If you don't like that for any reasons, no questions asked, you get all your money back and they will come pick it up. You literally have nothing to lose. And if you can get a better night's sleep and have more energy and be a happier person, that is one heck of a cheap investment.
You know who you are?
JLP Sonnen.
You are the John Jones of podcasting. You know, a guy.
I'm better than John Jones. I sound better than Sean Combs, and you can ask around because I'm better than John Holmes.
No, no, seriously. I want to give you a little rub. So Stasiak had he was in. He wanted to do a great job today, and you know, I know you're going to come in here and be you. You don't prepare. You come in. You let it fly. Out of every single thing he wanted to cover in all of these notes that you never saw, you found a way by just talking to him to get through that. And if there's somebody on this planet that does better reads, tell me who they are.
Well, I appreciate that. I wasn't looking for a compliment there, but you know, I don't like to prepare for it. And you know, Larry King didn't prepare ever. And he had Jerry Seinfeld on one day. And Jerry Seinfeld was all sorts of pissed off that Larry King was asking him questions. He didn't even know that Jerry Seinfeld was an executive producer or a writer or a co-creator with Larry David on Seinfeld. And it really pissed Jerry off. But I got it because I just want to have a conversation. I don't want to interview somebody. I don't want to come on here and ask Sean or anybody else 20 questions. I don't want to do that. If you're going to come on here, I want you to have something to say. Sean's an old wrestler. I'm a wrestler. He was at Boise State. They just made some news. So I just wanted to talk to him like a real guy. Then he came on with a story to tell. We just go back and forth. And the reason I say that is, it's not because I don't believe in preparing for things. I do believe in preparing. Going into school and you got a test coming up and you got to read the book and get in a study group and do the whole bit. But on these types of things, I just think that less is more. For me, for my approach, I just think if you want to have a conversation with someone, and I don't want to do an interview. I've gone on people's shows and they interview me. You go on a big time show, like take Jim Rome, who you and I are both fans of. He doesn't interview you. He has a conversation with you, and there's a reason that he's at number one. And I can just tell you, when I'm down here, I never feel like it's work. Some people go, "Oh, you're a hard worker." So I'm not working. I'm just having a conversation and recording it. And if I do have to do an interview, and sometimes I will get podcast one, we'll have somebody new that they're rolling out, and they'll want to get them some exposure. And it's somebody I don't know anything about, so I got to go do my research, and I write some questions down, and they finish their answer, and I ask them the next question, and it turns into an interrogation. It's like, well, that wasn't any fun. That felt like work. Let's just talk. Let's just be two guys, and let's talk. And if you're interesting, you think I'm interesting, we can create something interesting. And if one of them doesn't do our part, and they're dull, well, we can't do a part two. Sean was so interesting. That's why I said to him, hey, let's do a part two, because there's all sorts of things that I want to get into when you've got a kind of a mind like that. And professional wrestling is so interesting. I maintain that you can learn everything you need to know about politics through professional wrestling, particularly if you study the history of professional wrestling, because at one point it was not revealed to the world that professional wrestling was a gag, was a performance. And there was a huge debate. Now, that's hard for some of our younger listeners to understand. No, how would anybody not know that this is scripted? No, believe me, they didn't. 32 different states within this union had professional wrestling commissions. They were tied to boxing. They're called Boxing and Wrestling Commission. So now taxpayer dollars were funding commissions to go out and sit and watch licensed wrestlers hit another licensed wrestler over the head with a steel folding chair while a licensed referee laid unconscious with an earpiece in, getting instructions from the back. That means that legislators, senators, and 32 different governors all believed it was real. When Vince McMahon took the stand in 1989 and was asked under oath, is this real or not? That is the first time ever that, oh my God, there's no Santa Claus, and it was revealed. Vince McMahon thought he was going to go out of business for having to make that revelation. And quickly and quietly, 27 different commissions did away with the wrestling portion because they were fooled. They were doofuses. Now, those same people that were in the state legislatures, Joel, and were governors of those 32 different municipalities are now up on a federal level overseeing your Social Security, your Medicare, your retirement, and your national defense. So anything you need to know about these politicians, you can learn through professional wrestling. Now, while all those states did away with it quickly and quietly, some of them didn't, including Oregon. We are still on the books to the tune of $200,000 loss per year to our taxpayers to fund a professional wrestling commission. Now, it's the same commission that oversees boxing and MMA, so they've got some headway there, but they are still legally entitled to oversee, tax, and regulate professional wrestling because our legislature hasn't caught up with the fact
that it's not real. Anything you need to know about your governor officials that you're aspiring to and looking up to, you know, here's another thing. I don't want to get into politics, but I want to get into this point without taking a side. I want to get into this point. Trump administration is finishing up the first 100 days, and so there's a debate, right? Was it a good 100 days? Was it not a good 100 days? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in his first 100 days, passed 76 pieces of legislation, which goes down as this remarkable feat. And people look at that as, what an amazing job and an amazing leader. It's like, well, guys, slow down with all of that, because every time somebody runs for office, they have some kind of a platform of what they're going to do. Here's what you need to make sure that you understand as a voter, though, Joel. A politician can only do two things. They can regulate and they can tax. And neither regulation nor taxation are a whole lot of fun if you're a citizen. So if you've got a politician that's coming out and saying, I want to pass all of these laws, I'm looking around going, goddamn, we got enough laws. I got a sign every 5 feet when I drive in my hometown telling me where I can cross the road, when I can go, when I can't go, how fast I can go, what it is on the curb. That's just for traffic. There's enough laws out there. I remember, do you remember that nut? He turned into be a nut job, Jesse Ventura. He was elected governor, and then he was reelected governor in Minnesota. But he did run on something, and I liked it back then. I was only 17 years old. I didn't live in Minnesota, and I wasn't legal age to vote anyway. But I still remember what he said when he announced he was going to run for governor. They asked him, well, what are you going to do? What laws are you going to pass? And that's what everybody wants to do when they run. Come out and tell you all these laws are going to pass. And they get people that are holding up their signs and saying, this is really great. What in the hell is great about having more rules and more taxes put on you? How is that possibly a great thing that I want to go stick your sign in my yard for? Jesse Ventura said, and he was standing in a law library, so it was a perfect background. And he had on this little cheap suit like he wears, and he was lighting up a big old mouth cannon. And they asked him what kind of laws he was going to pass. And Jesse turns his head to the left and turns it to the right and says, pass? No. I'm going to get rid of some of these laws. I have no idea what's in all of these books. We have too many laws. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in and get rid. I'm going to give people a little bit more freedom. And I just remember thinking, that's the first time I've ever heard that. It was a real answer. He wasn't doing a pro wrestling shoot. He was being serious. He had just, and then he told the backstory on it, that he had some roadster that he opened up and let it breathe, as he worded it. He was going a little over 80 when he got pulled over. And he said, look, these are my roads. They're back roads. It's straight. I'm following the golden rule, which is go as fast as you can under the conditions that apply. And I'm sick of getting pulled over. I know these. So I kind of got what he was talking about. But people want to talk about with the Trump administration, talk about how many laws have got passed and how many. Every time a law doesn't get passed, people should be saying, well, that's great. There's enough laws out there. That's really great. What happens when we start talking things of intelligence and you go sit down up against the wall? I mean, is that just way over your head?
Buddy, the amount of information that you have in your brain that just comes out at any time is amazing to me, because on a daily basis, you also show me that you're a pea brain. So I'm just sitting there in awe of all of, and I believe, do you know what a cliff note is?
Yeah.
I believe somehow.
You used to read them in high school. They were a big deal.
Yeah. I believe somehow your brain is full of cliff notes.
But don't you find that interesting that people want to go out and celebrate somebody? I mean, I brought up Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who passed 76 bills in his first 100 days, and people still talk about, like, that's an amazing feat. From the sportsman side of politics, of getting your way and getting it done and navigating the system, yeah, great job, but you also just gave your constituents 76 more damn things that they have to worry about in their daily life so they don't step out of bounds and get identified as somebody that's on the wrong side of the law. There's too many laws.
I tell you all the time, the one you say, you know, you don't want to talk about politics, but man, your whole face lights up like a Christmas tree when you start talking about politics. And yeah, even though my pea brain can't follow it, can't listen to it, sounds like Charlie, you know, the teacher talking to Charlie Brown saying, meh, 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 meh. I'm sure our listeners understand it and appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I just think that we need to bank that point. I don't understand, you know, people get behind these politicians and they're all gung-ho on them and yay and hoorah, and it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it's a good way to spend your time if you want, and that's sport for some people. You know, you get behind the Seahawks or you get behind the Yankees. It's sport for some people, I understand it, but don't ever lose sight of the fact that a politician can only, now I'm not talking about an executive branch, but a politician can only do two things: regulate and tax.
Both of those things suck. They're not fun. In particular, you'll see politicians say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to create jobs. Well, neither regulation nor taxation is good for job growth. So how in the hell are you going to do it? And you'll hear constituents go, yeah, this is the guy we need. He's going to go create jobs. No, he can't. He cannot create a job. He can only regulate you and he can tax you. That's it. Tell me how either one of those has ever created a job. See the problem? What else you got for us? You got anything? Did Brew give you anything? Brew was upset with you. You gave him almost a little negative shout. Did he send you some notes this week or is he upset with you?
Yeah, I got all sorts of notes.
You want to go through any of them?
No, we're good.
All right. Final thoughts? Hopes, goals, fears, dreams, anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm good. I'm good, actually. Thanks for asking. How about you?
I think you might be asleep at the wheel. You know, I paid you that compliment earlier about you were in a good mood and a lot of fun to be around, and I'm feeling a little shift. I'm feeling a little... Did I do something? Did I not give love to Lad's play? Because I know that pisses you off when I don't, but I don't really actually know the story of the Beauty and the Beast. I know there's like a beauty, and then there's like a beast, and then they get together at the end. I don't really know.
There's sometimes where you are on fire, and the best thing I can do is just go like this and just step away. I mean, you are on fire right now. I don't know if it's, you know, your one of your 10 workouts is kicking in. You know, it's your last day of Spike following you around. But truthfully, I'm sitting here just thinking, yeah, I wish we could do all our shows right now because all we would have to do is hit go and you can fill it up. You're on fire today, brother.
Wow, Chael's so great. All right. For the great Chael who was on fire, for the Joel who 90% was in a good mood, and for all of you, thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, I'm Chael, he's Joel, and you are welcome.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hello there, you.
It's me, Jay Moore. You know me from the More Stories podcast. I'm a comedian, I'm an actor, and I talk to people that fascinate me, like Brandon Boyd from Incubus, super funny Jim Jefferies, Jay Leno, Charlie Sheen, Lakers owner Jeannie Buss, and a whole lot more. Download a few episodes of More Stories now. More Stories podcast every Monday. Podcast One app, iTunes, podcastone.com.